Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Maximum football.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
Max Starks has been pretty much everywhere in the country in the last week, and now he's here. Max, how you doing over there with the early headphone issues?
I'm doing great. This is awesome. This is what happens when you come in. This is on the floor underneath the table. I had to reel it in like a fish.
This is live radio at its finest.
Just to get a headset on. But no, I'm doing great, okay. Guys.
Awesome. Max, where have you been? Where exactly have you been? Because your schedule, you are so busy. You're all over the world.
So I was in LA Thursday and Friday. Had to run out there for some family stuff, and then Friday night I flew LA to Knoxville and called the Pitt Tennessee game.
Nice.
And then right after that game, went through all that amazing traffic in Knoxville because they had 90,000 people in the stadium.
Ooh.
And a small regional airport. I got to Buffalo, and then I had the Buffalo and Pittsburgh game.
Wow.
In Buffalo. So I got to see the house where Ron was born.
Stop it. No, you didn't.
We were 2.4 miles away from your house.
Okay, 45 Hodson Road. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we weren't far. And I saw Craig where he grew up, Blaisdell. Early days, I got dropped off at a Blaisdell Starbucks to catch an Uber because you couldn't catch an Uber near the stadium because Abbott Road was blocked off.
Okay, wait a minute.
Hours.
Are you being serious right now? Are you telling me you actually
this is very
did this?
Specific?
What are you talking about?
Didn't go to
45 Hodson Road.
We did not go exactly to the house and say
there
hello.
We went near it.
We went near it though. I mean, trust me, because Craig was our like tour guide in the bus because we had a bus for the radio staff.
Of course,
yeah, and so he was giving us every little thing. He showed us where y'all's one buddy. He had a house that was right there in the stadium that was doing parking where y'all used to hang out.
He was doing the old guy thing.
Oh yeah, he was
okay.
Pure,
there we go.
Pure tour guide.
You
mode.
Ripped him for that, right? You didn't let him off the hook.
Listen, I just simply said, "Wow, okay. Now, can you give me some restaurant recommendations?"
That he could.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about this during the break, and Wolf and I have been talking about it throughout the week, obviously. A huge win for the Cardinals. Now, Max, you were at the Steelers game, so you're looking up at the scoreboard, and you're like, wait, what? What? 38-13? What's going on?
I mean, it was amazing. And then, you know, when I got back home Monday night, I went back and kind of perused through the game and looked through the stat sheet, and I was blown away about how well – the Cardinals had a game plan, and they surprised us, right, Wolf?
Yes, I mean, they did.
That was the biggest thing. We had been talking about it the whole time as far as how are you going to do this with two young linebackers? You know, the ability and propensity for them to stick their nose in on play action and get beat over the top, and then they pass that green dot.
Yes.
And the green dot's the most important dot. If you want
Jordan
to know what
Hicks
that is,
got that green.
Jordan Hicks got the green dot. You know what that means? That means he gets the communique. He has a little speaker in his helmet to get everybody lined up. So that means that you are the starter. You are the most integral part of that defense if you have the green dot.
Yeah.
And we had seen him kind of get pushed aside during the preseason. And then when it comes down, when the axe has to hit the wood, we saw Hicks in there, and he definitely brought it that game.
Yeah, you know, honestly, he did. Jordan Hicks, 95% of the snaps. Actually, was in there for 95% of the snaps. And
who needs preseason?
Exactly. And I think Zaven Collins was 34%, if I'm not mistaken, right there.
34%.
Listen, I love the fact that Zaven Collins is going to get the opportunity to ease his way into becoming the player that I think he's going to be. Isaiah Simmons played fantastic, of course. But overall, they played so well against the Tennessee Titans, and they played so physical against the Tennessee Titans. I will tell you right now, going into this game against the Minnesota Vikings, knowing that the Minnesota Vikings are desperate, Max, I'm a little worried about this. I'm listen, I don't splatter easily. I'm not one of these guys. But this is a week where you look at and say, this is exactly why Steve Keim went out and got J.J. Watt, went out and got Rodney Hudson, went out and got A.J. Green, went out and got Colt McCoy, and brought all these veterans into this locker room for this game right here. Because I think if you look back at 2020, the Arizona Cardinals, I think you look back, hey, when they were 2-0, they started feeling themselves, and they lost to Detroit and Carolina after that. When they were 6-3, listening to Kyler Murray said it himself, they started feeling themselves. And then we know they went 2-5 the rest of the way. This is a are-you-feeling-yourself game. That's what this is. And to me, these leaders that you brought in, they have to be the difference, or you're going to lose.
Well, and it's a weed out, and it's a classic trap game, right? To have such a great week one game that everybody counted you out in.
Yes.
And to do it in such a dominating fashion, if it's a lesser team, it's the classic trap, right? We're better than them. We're smelling ourselves. We're going to a place where, you know, we're starting to believe the newspaper clippings, right? But this is also the moment where if you put your head down, you tune out the noise, and you handle the business you're supposed to handle within conference play,
yes,
then now we got something. But you have to get
past it. And where does that come
from?
Yeah, where does that come from?
That comes from your leadership.
That comes from your leadership inside that locker room, man.
Yeah. J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt.
Stand up. Chandler Jones, stand up. Veterans on that team, stand up. Because you have guys who have been on the positive side of this. Then you've had guys who've been on the opposite side of this. Namely, everything you experienced last year.
Yes.
At the end of the season. So you have requisite knowledge to bounce between to get where you need to land in the middle. So keeping perspective in place and moving straight ahead and understanding, hey, we are not good. That's just one step in the journey. We got 16 big steps to take before we can even see where the summit is to where we want to get to.
And you need guys inside that locker room that are respected to stand up and say it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely that. And I think, like Max was saying, too, I mean, you have these guys. Wolf, you and I were talking about this earlier in the week. You have guys that experienced it last year that started 2-0 and then lost two after that and went 6-3 and still missed the playoffs. I don't think those guys, some of them, I guess it depends how you're wired. I don't even think those guys need to be told because they don't want to go through another offseason of like, hey, you guys just fell apart down the stretch.
But sometimes, I mean, listen, I'm a big orator. All right? I'm just telling you that right now. You need to talk about this stuff. It's like the game of baseball for the most part. You don't talk about this stuff. You know, just let everything go. When things are going well, we're not going to talk about it. Even when things are going bad, we're not going to talk about it, right? And then when it gets really bad, then we'll blow up. There's going to be this massive blow up, right? We've got to live with each other, they say in baseball. Football players, I think, for the most part, they have to actually communicate. They have to speak. They have to talk about it, Max. To me, it's something that you don't leave any question marks out there. You just get right to it and you start talking about these things to vet them out in a locker room. And I think that's what leaders do. They don't let it slide. They bring it to the light, so to speak, and talk about it.
Week 2 kicks off tomorrow night. There's still time to sign up for Bick's Picks, so text Pick to 620-620 to sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill courtesy of Modelo Especial. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, so text Pick to 620-620 to enter. Coming up, what's next for Chandler Jones after winning Defensive Player of the Week? You'll hear what he has to say next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show with Max Starks on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Maximum football.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
And Max Starks is here. It is the Wolf and Luke Show, and we are hearing from Chandler Jones for the first time in a long time, guys. He just spoke to the media after practice today, and look, there's a lot you can ask Chandler Jones about. He's coming off a 5-sack performance, but naturally he was asked if he did ask for a trade this offseason.
Yeah, I did ask for a trade. I did. If Steve wants to talk about that, he can speak about it, or my agent, but that is true.
He also said it's important for him to show up, put the team first.
Well, in this situation here, I think it's advantageous for me to show up for sure. I know I wasn't at mini camp, I wasn't at OTAs, but when it comes to this season, I think doing your job is essential. Putting the team first, ignoring the noise, and like I said previously, just managing expectations.
And then one more here, and we'll react. He was asked if he's thinking about his contract situation during the season.
I'm just playing football, honestly. I just let my agent take care of all that, the contract situation. But it is the last year of my contract, and, you know, I just let that take care of itself.
Wolf,
wow,
your initial reactions to
honestly,
that?
Honestly, it's everything I thought that Chandler Jones would be right now. It's who he is. He's going to go out, and he's going to play. He's not sitting out. He's not sucking his thumb. He's not demanding that he gets paid. He's not demanding he gets traded right here. Yeah, he requested a trade. There's no doubt about it. I love the fact he was honest on all of that right here. But Chandler Jones understands one thing, and that is the game of football is personal to him. And it's one of the reasons why you watch Chandler Jones go out and compete. It's one of the reasons why you watch Chandler Jones go out and fulfill a contract to the degree in which he did, where he got paid. He got the Brinks truck backed up. And you know what he did? He went out and played up to that contract in every way, shape, and form. You don't see a lot of guys doing that. You just don't. Chandler Jones is a football player. He's got a football mind. He's about football, and he also understands this. There's one way out of here. He wants to get paid. That's the way to get out of here. Whether you're going to stay here and get paid by Steve Keim, or you're going to get paid by somebody else, the way out is through the 2021 door, and he's going to go through that door. And that's why I love and respect him, because he's going to play.
Well, and this is what true leaders do, right? You know, you have your sit-in moments. You have your moments of quiet protest, right? But you still go about your business. You don't create a stir in the water. You know, it was murmured by everybody else, but we didn't hear one word.
But there's a lot of guys who do that.
There are. T.J. Watt was another guy that just did, and look what he did.
Yes.
His vigilance paid off.
Yes.
So I think when you're Chandler Jones, you look at that and you say, okay, there is a light to the end of that tunnel.
Especially when you're talking about the Steelers, who typically don't respond very well to that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, let's just say Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Antonio
Brown.
But they went about – but those guys went about in a sloppy way. You know, they were very outward, social media, attractive to it. But the guys like TJ, like Chandler, they just go about their work. They're like, listen, you see what my resume is,
yeah,
and I'm going to continue to add to that resume. In fact, go ahead, let's put five more notches on that resume. Let's lead all defensive players in sacks right now. After week one, I'm halfway to double digits in one game. I destroyed what you thought was a great offensive line. And,
yes,
you know, God bless you. I will be lighting a candle in Catholic Church for you, Rashad Hill, because you might have a Chaz Green moment from, you know, the kid from Dallas. Like, you might have that type of day as well. And Chandler Jones is more feast and famine on his watch as long as he's healthy.
All right, so I think we all had the same thought watching him on Sunday. Like, okay, you got to pay this guy. He's going to get paid, hopefully, by the Cardinals. I think that's what most Cardinals – I mean, having the duo of Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, especially on Sunday, and I think in a lot of people's minds even coming into that game, just logically, it's like that might be unstoppable. This is where the quotes get confusing today, so I'm going to play this one first, and I'm just going to play the audio first. This is Chandler Jones from today.
Yeah, I was patting his pockets for sure. I was. He knows what that means. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to make sure I have this right, because Chandler's been tweeting since this like within the last 5 minutes, and somebody tweeted out that quote, and Aaron, stop me if I'm wrong here, but that quote was attributed as if he was patting Michael Bidwell's pockets.
Yeah, so the question that was asked was whether he was patting Michael Bidwell's and Steve Keim's pockets, to which he responded with that. But then when it was quoted on Twitter, he said that never happened, and this is false.
And then Darren Urban tweeted, still the potential contract extension is not a subject Chandler Jones is going to speak a lot about, and Chandler quote tweeted that with zero contract conversation. So
okay.
Just bringing you up to date. That's all within the last 15 minutes.
Zero contract, and he's all about playing football. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I hope I'm saying.
Exactly. We're trying to read in between the lines here. This stuff is happening right now. But if I know Chandler Jones, he recognizes the way to get paid in a big, big way, once again, is to do it through the door of 2021. And he's going to keep playing.
Well, and he has the target now, too, with T.J. Watt's contract. He knows what that number looks like. And if he outpaces T.J. Watt, which is funny enough because T.J. Watt's your teammate, as long as he outpaces little brother's production, he has every right to ask that. And I think also because he quoted, he retweeted a tweet as well talking about his sack rate percentage being only behind Reggie White in NFL history. So he's substantiating where he's going with that, and he knows where his target is.
Here's the thing that concerns me. This is the thing that I'm worried about. He's going to be 32 in February. He's going to be 32. T.J. Watt is 26.
He might have 32 sacks by the time we hit February.
Exactly right.
Exactly.
Okay, now listen, again, oh boy, that is a hard call for any general manager to make. What, are you going to sign him to another five-year contract? He's going to be 37 at the end of it? No, that's not going to happen.
No.
So now you've got to figure out what you're going to do.
Well, but you also can aggregate it, right? If it's like, hey, I'm not going to give him more than three because he's 35. I mean, hell, we're paying J.J. Watt and we paid Dwight Freeney before.
Oh, yeah.
Off of their resume. So you say,
he's going to get more than J.J. Watt got.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if he's like, hey, I don't need the five. I don't need exactly what T.J. got, but give me the three-year average of that.
Yeah.
Of what that contract
or
is.
More.
Or more to get to that point. I think that's what he's kind of looking at. I don't know, but how much longer does he want to play? How late into his career does he want to play? Does he want to go Julius Peppers long?
Right.
Or is he one of those guys like, hey, Julius once I hit
Peppers.
That, yeah,
you
once I hit that and then I'm done? That's the question. But if he puts out these eye-popping numbers for the rest of the season, it's going to be undeniable. What can happen, and you hope he stays as a Cardinal instead of possibly wanting a trade again in the offseason.
Well, that would be the worst thing if he ends up on, like, San Francisco or Seattle or one of those teams.
No,
you know they would go after
the Rams. You put him with, oh, God. I just have PTSD.
But here's the thing. You put him with J.J. Watt. I mean, that's what they've done. This season is going to be fun no matter what.
Yeah.
Just because of that duo alone, we haven't even really gotten into the offense, just that duo. But it is an interesting question what you do beyond this year. Like, Wolf, are you telling me I need to just enjoy this season for what it is and we'll have to see what happens in the offseason?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the all-time sack numbers, and he's at 102 right now.
Yeah.
And if he stays healthy, I think we all agree he's good for at least 15 more this season.
Yeah, no.
I mean, he's been
honestly,
doing that.
Yes.
He's a quarter of the way there right now. We're only in week two.
And
15
the way
more this
he
month.
Looks coming into this season, too, this is the thing that I was saying coming in. I thought he was going to have a monster year. Okay, this is a guy that goes about his business and is a pro to begin with. Takes a lot of pride in how he plays. Just look at his sack total over the last 3 years in particular. Just go ahead and look at it. This is a guy that doesn't need to be poked and prodded to get him to go do his job. He loves the game of football, and now all of a sudden he's coming into a end-of-the-year situation where this is the last year of his contract. And he's going to go out and have to earn it. And now he's coming out here. He came in the best shape of his life. The motivation was there. The talent was there. And the opportunity is there. And anytime that happens, Chandler Jones is going to capitalize on that. You better be sure of that.
He's just been so consistently good that, yes, what he did on Sunday makes everybody raise their eyebrows, but really it's what he's done over the last 5 years, not counting last year, I guess, when he was hurt. Really, it's what he's done over his entire career. He's just been so consistent since he got in the league at rushing the passer. Text us your thoughts on Chandler Jones and his future with the Cardinals to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, one of Aaron Rodgers' former teammates is questioning the quarterback now. So the fallout continues. We'll discuss it next. The Wolf and Luke Show. Max Starks is here as well on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Max Starks. Starks. Maximum football. Maximum football.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida,
Yeah, Max Starks is here. Max, before we get into this this topic of Aaron Rodgers, how'd you feel watching Florida State lose in just horrible fashion over the weekend?
I almost want to go send a donation to Jacksonville State. I'm not going to lie to you. That just and to hear William Floyd on the broadcast, if you heard the broadcast version of it from radio, he was so mad at the end of the game. He takes his headset off and he just slams it on the table, and you could hear it audibly. And, you know, Conan the Barbarian, great movie, right?
What is good, Conan?
But remember when they're sitting around the fire? It goes, the best thing, you know, about you know, what is the best thing in life? And he goes, he's like, when you sit around the fire and you hear the victory, you get the victory, and you hear the lamentations of the women crying. That's exactly what it was,
that's
right?
That's what he responded to when the guy asked, what is good, Conan?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and that's what it is. I mean, you know, seeing FSU lose, and, you know, my cousin, of course, is a proud FSU grad, Travis Johnson. It makes my heart warm. You know, there's no better feeling on this planet to know that Florida is the best team in the state of Florida right now, because Miami just got absolutely skull drugged by Miami, you know, by Alabama. And of course, we do have Alabama coming to the Swamp this weekend. Let's not forget that we have a top 10 matchup going on in the state of Florida at for the Gators.
I would ask you your confidence level for that, but I want to make sure we hit this Aaron Rodgers stuff while you're here.
Yeah, no.
So,
no, it's not confident.
Nobody's confident against
Alabama.
I just
want them to cover the spread.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were definitely one of probably the biggest disappointment over the first week of the season. They lose 38-3. Aaron Rodgers looked terrible. The Packers looked terrible. And he didn't like hide from that after the game. But Max, Wolf and I were talking about this earlier in the week. Like, Aaron Rodgers has been so good for so long that the guy can have a bad game. But the thing is, that was such an uncharacteristically bad game, and he spent the last 6 months talking about how he doesn't really want to be there, that you've opened yourself up to a lot more questions when you spend the offseason like that and then you play like that in the first game. So what was just your first reaction when you saw the result of that game or the highlights?
You know, I saw a picture of Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines, and a thought bubble popped up in my head when I was looking at it.
Okay.
And it said, Final Jeopardy. I should have stayed in Jeopardy. I should have been little Alex Trebek. You know, when you look at that, it was, I mean, horrendous performance.
Terrible.
I mean, the worst one of his career. It was worse than his first start ever. It was something that it goes back to distractions.
Yes.
How you handle your business
Bill
off
Belichick.
The field. Because we look at Chandler Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say anything, goes quietly about his business, shows up, then goes to work. A lot of other guys did the same thing. It wasn't unique to have a guy sitting out during preseason, sitting out of OTAs, but it's the way that he, quote unquote, was silent but very loud with his off-season activity. And I think that's where you see that kind of culminate, the distractions, the thoughts, the other things other than ball creeping in, not only for him, but for the entire team, having to answer about him. And we saw a very distracted team, which opened the door to let somebody like Jameis Winston have that type of moment on that stage against that team that's trying to go back and say, hey, if I'm going to come back, I'm going to win a Super Bowl. Well, conference dominance precedes anything else. That was a conference game. It wasn't like you were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though you were in their stadium and you lost this game. You lost against a potential rival in that pursuit and in that quest, and to do it so distractedly and look that bad made it so much more worse. And he deserves everything that he's going to get thrown at him, because you opened the door for this. You weren't focused on football. You were in the jungles. You were doing Bryson DeChambeau playing tournaments. You were doing Jeopardy. You were doing all of this other stuff outside that was not getting you ready for football.
And it showed.
And it showed in week one, your first real opportunity.
So, Max, when was the last year you played?
My last full season of football?
Yes.
2013.
The last year you were actually in the league.
Last year I was actually in the league was 2015 training camp with the Cardinals.
Go. Yeah. Okay, 2015 training camp right there. Would you say that a locker room still has a pecking order?
Absolutely.
It does.
So I'm not the old guy suddenly who has no
connection whatsoever. So there is a pecking order in that locker room. Where do you think Aaron Rodgers was coming into this season? Because I'm thinking Aaron Rodgers was number one.
Okay. Yeah.
He was your number one dog, so to speak, in that locker room. And whenever you've got number one who goes out and plays like that, who plays like number two, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, now all of a sudden, the emoji for soft sea chocolate ice cream.
So now all of a sudden.
Thanks for translating, Max.
Now all of a sudden, though, Max, how precipitous could that fall be if, in fact, this is what we're going to see from Aaron Rodgers going forward? Now, we all know he's got incredible talent. We all expect him to totally look different in week number two. But if he goes out and he struggles again at all, can I tell you right now, man, the wheels are going to come off quickly.
Well, and Max, I want to get your reaction to this, too. This is a former teammate talking about Aaron Rodgers, not from that long ago, JerMichael Finley. And this was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, not Max Starks, though, a different Max, this morning.
And,
yes. And he was asked about Aaron Rodgers and had this to say.
That's the National Football League. Each offseason, you got to work like it's the last season. And I just don't see a work ethic in Aaron Rodgers that I have in previous years. And actually, you can see it right through his helmet. The eyes and the face tells everything of the personality. And I just don't see it, that NFL hunger and just feel hungry to go win another championship. I just think it's cliche and talk that guys get up there and say, oh, I want to win a championship. Oh, it sounds good, but I want to see what you do on the field.
I'm sure he'll go out there and torch Detroit. I mean, he's had bad games in his career, and then he comes back like a monster. But as a former player, like, you're usually pretty hesitant, a former teammate, to criticize a guy you played with publicly. And that was pretty clear.
I was totally listening to you. Who was that, Luke?
That was JerMichael Finley.
It was JerMichael Finley right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just interesting. He would know, right? He would know. He just doesn't see the fire coming from Aaron Rodgers that he once had. That's interesting. And again, it's something to watch. Listen, do I think Aaron Rodgers is done? Do I think he's washed up? No, I do not. But the Green Bay Packers might have a rough year in front of them.
Well, I think it's going to be a very busy, distracted year, because every little moment he's going to move the needle with how he reacts and how he responds. And because we know the backstory of this offseason. So everything that happens on field. So for as good as everything went last year, leading up to that NFC Championship game, is as bad as it can get this year. Because you have expectations in place about what they can accomplish. The disharmony and discord that was between management and him all offseason, and the different things and links that he went to be silent, so to speak, and then to have this performance week one, it leaves the door wide open for everybody to hurl all the rocks at the tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to see. And yes, he can come back and rebound, but it's going to take until week 12, week 13, week 14 before you can shake the stench off of how stinky and smelly and bad week one was for them, and how everybody else around the league is going to respond and get better as a team. They're going to have to mitigate a lot of the distractions that media is going to bring in, that even players in that locker room. Because, Craig, you know this. The locker room, it's the most democratic place in America. You bring all your thoughts, all your feelings, everything. Nothing is off the table when you step in the locker room, because you're in that shared common experience, that shared human experience towards getting to a goal. So the good, bad, and ugly, those closed-door players-only meetings, the moments in the locker room where you go up to a guy and you'll check him, all those things happen. We'll never know about it because it's behind closed doors, but all of that is now open. That number one spot that you're sitting on is getting wobbly because you're standing on a totem pole and not a mountain.
Yeah. First time he called me.
I was going to say, we're just going to let that slide.
Sorry. No. Gosh.
It's so good.
Too many wolves in one day.
You're doing so well.
I can't help it.
Don't worry. I respond to it. Are you kidding me? I love that guy.
You're spending a lot of time around Wolfley.
They're brothers.
All right, text us your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers situation. Look, if Green Bay ends up melting down, that's one less team the Cardinals have to deal with in the NFC. So text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, how is Kyler Murray feeling after his Week 1 performance that was apparently not good enough to win him Offensive Player of the Week? That's next. The Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Max Starks. Maximum Football. Maximum Football.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
All right, Kyler Murray has spoken today, and we got a lot of good clips here. I'm gonna start with one that I know Wolf's gonna like, and I want to get Max's reaction. Kyler was asked about getting in players' faces during the games.
No, I mean it happened with him and Rondale, I think. But it was, you know, we're just trying to win. As long as I want them to do what we're coached to do, and we don't, it calls for that. But it is what it is.
He was cool with it.
No.
Do you like doing that? Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like watching the audio. Listen, I'm like, he's got 1 second left
this
to answer.
This is what I think about this. So we all know that Kyler Murray's not a very vociferous guy. He's not a guy that is going to be a guy screaming and yelling and giving you rah-rah stories. It's not who he is. We know that. He's more of an introvert than he is anything else. He's got to learn how to be that extrovert. He has to learn, and right there, just listening to him, this is a guy that is in a state of flux. This is a guy that is developing right now. This is a guy that I think is on becoming a franchise quarterback boulevard right now. He's on that road. He's not at his destination yet. He's a guy that has to become comfortable with challenging some of his teammates.
And that's the next step. That is the next step. When we're talking about the evolutionary process, when we're talking about the growth or photosynthesis, however you want to look at growing things, this is the next step in the leadership growth tree. You've got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and having those uncomfortable conversations with your teammates, because this is a game of human performance. This is a game where your blood, sweat, and tears more often than not amount to your measure of success. And so you have to be willing, if you're willing to give all of that, you have to be willing to go talk to the other guys that are going to give those ounces.
Correct.
As well, and get to that point. And that's what a true leader does. He goes and he knows you don't have it. I don't have 10 ounces to give you. But guess what? This 7 is equal to that 10, and I'm going to give it to you because I see you giving it.
Oh, look at that. I'm doing the math, and you both stared at me like I'm not giving the full 10 ounces.
Yeah. You're at 6.5 right now.
You know what,
Luke, I need you up.
When Max was getting fired up right there, and by the way, anytime Max sticks his finger into the air and he starts pointing like this, that's when you know that Max Starks is fired up. But just listening to him, it made me feel like, man, I'm back in the locker room right now. I really am, right? This is the beautiful thing about it, because it is. It's all about accountability. So much of the time. Number one, you got to go do first. You got to go play. And then you've got to keep yourself accountable. Above all else, you got to hold yourself to a standard you'll hold nobody else to. Because if that happens, if you do first and then you hold yourself to a standard you'll hold nobody else to, people will let you walk up on them and say, what are you doing?
Well, along those lines, Kyler was asked today, what do they need to clean up from game one? Because we've talked so much, everybody's talked so much about how great they were in week one, but it was not a perfect game.
First, penalties, made it tough on ourselves early, which played really good football teams in great games, big time games, that'll come back to bite you. So we've got to clean those up and then just, continue to be consistent, continue to understand what we're trying to do throughout the week and perfecting it before Sunday, because we had 2 weeks to go into that game. Now it's a shorter week. Every week's going to be shorter. Body's going to be tired, stuff like that. So we really got to lock in throughout the week.
I got to say, his answers this year, and I didn't I'm not one of the people that really cared so much about his answers the last couple years. I mean, I get that he's got to be a leader on the team, and there's some repercussions with how you handle media and you know, negative situations on the field and all that stuff. I do get that. But I'm really impressed because it's very clearly a point of emphasis for him. He's very intentional with giving like legitimate, intelligent answers and being definitive and confident in them.
Yeah. No, that is a great observation, and I think you're right on that too, Luke, that this is an area he's got to continue to grow. Now, will I agree completely? I will after I see him go out and throw three picks and then come out and actually do the exact same thing. See, I mean, you've got to learn how to handle the highs, of course, and you've got to learn how to handle the lows. And right now, we haven't seen him after a rough game, after a tough game, and that's where we're going to really find out if Kyler is making any progress, because I believe that he is, but the proof is in the pudding.
So they play the Rams October 3rd, so I'll get your reaction on October 4th. All right.
Yeah. Well, I think the other big thing is that, you know, you've got to be constant. Consistency is key as well, right? I mean, that's the true measure of where you're at. Can you consistently get your guys up? Do you know how to press the button and also know when to press that button for each of those guys? Because like you said, Wolf, it's knowing your own self-scout. So not only watching the game film from the other team to get ready for this one, watch your own game. Focus on your weaknesses. Can you study and watch and criticize yourself just as much as you're doing the guy that you're going up against? Because they're looking at it and they're doing it to you. And if you can head them off at the pass and allow for your weaknesses to become your strengths by what you do, that's when you know you're making an impact. And when you have those right mentors in place to show you how to do it. That's the other thing. Yeah. You could have it in your head and not know how to practically apply it, but you have to be able to have someone teach you how to do it. That guy for me was Barrett Brooks my first year. He taught me how to watch film. And he also taught me how to scout myself, because I knew how to scout the opponent. I knew, hey, count his steps. You know, what's his favorite pass rush move? Where does he line up here? Da-da-da-da-da. But, Max, what do you do against what he does?
Yeah.
And what can you do that's going to, what is he seeing that he's going to want to do to you that you can prevent him from doing? That's the next step in the process. And you got those veterans in place. You have the Rodney Hudsons in place. You have the JJ Watts in place to come in here and be those mentors. Jordan Hicks is that ferryman for those linebackers, right? You know, you've got to pay your tithes point.
Don't pay the ferryman until he gets you to the other side. We all know that.
Well, we all know that, but you got to show him that you have the coins to pay for it. You know, and of course, yeah. You don't give it to him. You don't give it to him on the dock, anyways. But yeah, but that's the basic premise: is how are you going to respond? And like we always talk about, you're only good as your next game. Last week was last week.
Yes.
We love it. It was great. What have you done for me lately?
Yes.
What are you going to do for me this weekend? And what are you going to do to get ready for this weekend and be accountable to your teammates? That's the key.
We've turned the corner. Wednesday, we officially turned the corner to the new week, right? The new opponent.
Yes, right. Page has turned.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Players' day off was yesterday.
That's right.
We took it. We kind of took the day off.
Is what we call it.
Yeah.
Max, thanks for coming in. Good luck on Saturday against Alabama.
Thank you. I'm going to also pray for Rashad Hill as well as my Gators. I'm going to light a candle because it could get bad.
It could get bad, yeah. Thanks, yeah. Max. Yeah,
thanks a lot, Max. Good stuff there. All right, when we come back, how does Patrick Peterson feel about returning to State Farm Stadium this week? You'll hear what he said next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.